I come from Louisville representing a cast of thousands to talk about our large-scale community point of distribution event for H1N1 vaccination. And so as a background, in November, in the beginning of November, we began to address or recognize the same issues that I think most health departments had, which is that we were starting to get more vaccine in. We were initially just distributing to hospitals and medical providers, but as we got more in, we began to feel more of a sense that we should have a open event in order to reach a larger group of people, those who didn't have providers who are providing vaccine. And just as a background, Louisville is about 700,000 people, and so in terms of reaching people, those are the numbers that we were kind of looking at. And so we're thinking about how to develop an event to distribute vaccine efficiently and to get to high-risk groups. Now, we were originally approached by the University of Louisville because they had developed a plan to vaccinate their students and staff and their family members through a large-scale event. And we had told them that given the scarcity of vaccine, we simply weren't going to be able to allocate vaccine just for that population, but if you were willing and able to use your resources to a large community event, then we can talk about it. Now, the plan generally revolved around, so this is Papa John's Stadium, the football stadium for U of L, and the large parking lot that is adjacent to the stadium would be the site that we would be using. So we began to think through the advantages and disadvantages of a large-scale event, both Papa John's specifically and just generally overall. So a big advantage to Papa John's is that it is used for such situations. So having tens of thousands of people come through to Papa John's Stadium is in that area is not a tremendously new thing. That's what they do when they have football games. And University of Louisville, as I mentioned, to some degree had a plan really in place to vaccinate people. And a lot of this revolved around truly strong relationships that we already had with the University of Louisville. My boss, Dr. Troutman, who is the director of the health department, is a faculty member of the School of Public Health. We'd work with Dr. Carrico and Dr. Clover, who's the dean of School of Public Health, multiple times. And so certainly there was a facility to be able to come to an agreement about how to do this relatively quickly. And, you know, a big advantage to one event for us was that if you have multiple events either on one day, then communications and logistics becomes terribly difficult. If you have multiple events over several days, then drawing off the resources to supervise and carry off events becomes a very big thing as well. And so we went forward with this thinking. Now, there's certainly challenges to having one big site events. One is that we weren't going to hold vaccine for a period of time in anticipation of this event, so we had to go forward with our planning in anticipation that the vaccine that they said is going to come from a state level actually showed up. If you have a big event plan and you don't get the vaccine, it's kind of a bigger deal than if you have multiple smaller events over time. We had to modify the distribution plan that the university was using to fit what would be an open event. And, you know, I think we all recognize that for H1N1, from public health, it was an emergency. For many people in the community, H1N1 was an emergency. But for many other people in community, H1N1 was not an emergency. And for U of L, this is a busy place with a lot of things going on. One couple of days we couldn't have it because John McCain was coming into town, and even when we did have it, things continued to go on, and I'll talk a little bit more about that over time. So there was pluses and minuses to this. And then clearly, if you have one or two-day events, do you reach the population as a whole, or are you really reaching only one subsegment? So this is our incident command structure for the event, and I point out a couple of things. One is that for us, we'd been in incident command structure for several weeks before the beginning of planning for this, just for H1N1 in general, and that really served us well. For this event in particular, it was very useful. I think our staff brought into the incident command structure just because this event was so big, it became very clear you needed a much bigger or a different structure to kind of organize what was going on. I think our ICS structures would break down when we had smaller events, and so there's more of a temptation just to get it done rather than going through channels. One point I would point out is that In order for this to work, we really needed U of L's, obviously their support and their assistance, but also to work within the structure. And Dennis Sullivan, who is their assistant director of health, environment, and safety there, played a big role in making sure that that happened. Because again, U of L has a lot of things going on, and balancing those issues was a significant thing. Now, Matt Rhodes, who is our deputy director of our environmental division, was the boss, was the overall, but Matt had a pre-engagement this week urgently to go fishing, and so I'm the one doing the talking. But Matt did a fantastic job, and I think he made sure everybody stayed very well within the incident command structure, which made a big difference for us. We talked with the University of Louisville School Speed of Engineering to come up with some structures and some assumptions based on past events to measure throughput and try and develop a process to make sure that we had enough people in place for the events. Now, looking at it overhead, just generally speaking, so if you go into that large parking lot, we had a process to wind people through some lanes, and then you would come to an event where either you would go, we had two opportunities here, either a walk-in site or the drive-through site here, and what we had was 10 different lanes going all at the same time, simultaneously. Some School of Public Health students, Caitlin Shelton and Pratesh Parmar, did an awful lot of the work in terms of putting this together along with the school Speed School of Engineering. So lurking it through in terms of logistics, these are the kind of things we had. Now, from the public health standpoint, we had 14 nurses morning shift, 15 on evening shift. We had 22 support staff for each shift. So we had 7-hour shifts in the morning, 7-hour shifts in the evening for a planned 12-hour day over 2 days. One thing I'd point out is one of the issues that we had really was it's hard to have multiple people in charge of allocating vaccine when you have multiple types of vaccine and you want to make sure that enough is going in the right directions. And so one person, Patty Ashley, did an awful lot of that distribution. And that was, she was probably the busiest person, I think, on a continuous basis. Now, from the school of nursing side, now from the U of L, our big resource for us was the School of Nursing. We had 250 combination of students and staff. Initially, the plan was to have 1-to-10 ratio, so one faculty person to 10 students. Practically speaking, it ended up being a lower number than that, 1-to-6-to-7. And then we had multiple other volunteers for consents, doing consents and answering questions about vaccine. And again, it was proved hard to have multiple people in charge of the vaccine, so this was one person who was responsible for it. And if you go down the list of different groups that participated in this, our guess is probably had 500 people from the community participating in this over a couple of days. In terms of communication and marketing of this, went through the processes that you would imagine. So we got a lot of media coverage, newspaper and television and radio coverage for this. One of the novel things we tried, or one of the new things we tried for us at least, was using bus routes to encourage people. If you didn't want to deal with the hassle of the car, you could come to government centers in Louisville. We'd pick you up and then we would take you there and take you back. So the idea was, one, for people who didn't have a car, you'd have some opportunity to be able to be taken there. And two, again, if people didn't want to drive through this process, they could avoid that as well. In terms of communicating to the community, we emphasize the high-risk, limited vaccine groups. So children, older kids who had underlying medical illness and the rest standard. One point is that the state health department made it clear on a statewide level they weren't comfortable with people being turned away from any event. So it was we encourage people who are high risk to show up and do the best you can with that. This is just a physical sense of it. So they drive in, this is kind of the same picture on end, but you'd come down to here and these are the different lines. And so we'd have two pairs of lines, so functionally 10 lines working. This is a picture of the tent that the health department was staffing. And generally speaking, U of L staff were staffing the drive-through side. The students and student nurses and the faculty were staffing that side, and then the health department was staffing the walk-up events. And, you know, functionally, it was kind of like the way we looked at it was kind of like if you're at war. Like, if you look at the whole Western Front, you're not going to make it. If you even look at the whole battlefield, you're going to have a problem. So as long as you just identify the people in front of you and do the job well, the people in front of you, rather than trying to think of it from a larger logistical scale, I think people did a lot better. One of the issues that we thought about and worked through really early on in this process was use of student nursing or not. Now, the student nursing, one big advantage to them is they were semi-volunteer but semi-really drafted because their professors said, show up for the event. And that's a huge advantage if you're going to have a big event, as opposed to for us, for our Medical Reserve Corps, we've used them and had success, but we have varying numbers of people show up. And so knowing we are going to have a significant staff there was important. At the same time, we knew that there was a learning curve for giving IM injections, and certainly there was a lot of pre and during event planning that or education that went on to make sure that nurses understood what was going on. And students, issues you run into are candidly a lot of the same issues that we run into when we, from our Medical Reserve Corps and our staff nurses occasionally. One thing is that everybody wants to love and hug and talk the heck out of people. That's what we do. You know, we're medical people. You know, we're nurturers. When you got a bunch of people coming through, that's not necessarily the timeliest thing to do. So trying to balance that for our staff and certainly for the student nurses was a big part of it. We did a lot of work to try and make sure dosing issues were addressed. We had a lot of color coding processes to make sure that we knew our Sanofi versus our MedImmune versus our other vaccines. And one of the big things we did is made sure that all of the dosing were double checked at least by one other person to make sure we weren't misdosing. Were they ideally fast? No. Did they do a lot of work in a hurry? The nurses did a very good job, really. So, and if you look at the numbers over time, we basically said we're open till vaccine runs out. And we'd advertised we had 15,000 vaccine. Well, the first day we did 12,000 doses. And so about two-thirds through, and this is the overall in the 2 days, we did 12,000 the first day, and then you got like 2,000 doses, so we had a few more doses, so we didn't just close after 2 hours on the second day. So we ended up doing 19,000 doses of vaccine in our community over a period of time. The second day we finished about halfway through the day because we essentially ran out of vaccine. Now, we tried to answer some questions about this event and how well it worked. One of the things we did is we mapped all of the people who showed up in terms of all of their addresses. And looking at it, our big concern truly, for people who don't know anything about Louisville, the east side is the wealthier, affluent side. And when we have had open events, candidly, our experience has been that open events are overwhelmingly represented by that side. For the west side, which is more of a lower socioeconomic and mixed race population, we've had lower people groups show up. This is numbers of people as a percentage of populations in each zip code, and we were really fairly pleased that we really had a reasonable representation of people throughout the community. In the northwest side, this is the Portland area of Louisville. They were underrepresented. It's been a chronic issue in Louisville. We'd sort of anticipated that this population wouldn't show up as much. We've had subsequent events in that general area to try and address that. The other big question is, you know, you have an open event, but you're not turning people away. What sort of population is actually showing up? And you can kind of look at the data from the glass half full or the glass half empty perspective. So pregnant women, big population that we want to address. For this group, in terms of self-identification, we only had 3% of them say they were pregnant. Now, on the other hand, of 19,000 people, that's about 700 women. And in Louisville, we have about 7,000 women who are pregnant in any one period of time. So in one day, we vaccinated 10% of the pregnant women population in Louisville, more or less, if they were reporting, you know, accurately or not. We were again trying to emphasize kids under 4 years of age showing up. We didn't have a tremendous show up. If you look at the high risk, super high risk shortage group numbers, we had about 24% of our population fit that group. If you look at the less restricted, high-risk indicated group, about two-thirds of the people who showed up fit that group. There are a couple of groups we didn't identify. We didn't identify healthcare workers or first responders or people caring for kids under 6 months of age. We just didn't ask that data. So presumably the numbers are higher than that. So. Challenges and successes. So, the nurses, the student nurses did a phenomenal job, but certainly educating them and bringing them up to speed over time in terms of vaccinating people was terribly useful. Adequate supplies was, we came through without a problem. At one point, we had to have a police escort to get our people to the health department and back to get enough vaccine. It was stressful that when you're going through that much vaccine in a hurry, making sure that all your resources are there an issue. And then, as I mentioned, life goes on besides what you're doing. H1N1 is the most important thing to you, but to many people, there had been a job fair that was scheduled next door that nobody really knew about until the day of the event. And a lot of people, the most important thing for them that day was getting a job. And so the issues of trying to communicate to them where they're supposed to park, and unfortunately we had people who were directed over here who wanted to come to the walk-in event. They were supposed to come through and park here, but they didn't realize it, and so we had to set up a bus system to bus people back and forth. It's just some of the larger issues that come up with logistical events. In terms of other reported events, so we had no significant medical issues that were identified, although admittedly this is a passive process of identifying medical issues. The incident command process and communication went extraordinarily well. In terms of length of time, invariably the people who waited the longest were the people who showed up at 5 in the morning because they wanted to be ready by 8. It got faster for the people as it went through. If you came by 2 o'clock in the afternoon, people were getting in and out in 15 minutes. Those bus line sites, we only had 2 to 5 people coming per bus ride, so they were not terribly used. They were really efficient. They'd get people there in 10 minutes, get them back. It was really almost faster than driving in with your car, but it wasn't terribly well used. So I think the event, I mean, it's hard to use smooth for an event that big, but overall it really did run as well as we could have expected. The community as a whole seemed to show up and be at the site, so it wasn't just one particular area we were identifying. Certainly, having the significant assistance from the students from the School of Nursing were a big deal, and the relationships that we had with the university to try and get this set up, really under 2 week period of time, were extremely important as well. And I tried to mention some of the people who played a huge role in this. Thanking everybody would take another 15 minutes, but I thought the event truly went as well as we could have hoped for. So, and I'll be taking questions afterwards.